asking you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working in...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hey, everybody. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, the True Straight Up, brought to you by...
That's right. Brought to you by our new sponsor, Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine. Just go to mountainwestwellness.com. Also, happytrees.co and Denver Cynogenics and Dr. Julie McCallum.
And Mountain West Wellness has a special offer for anybody who calls Mountain West, gets in touch with them. They'll give you a free, absolutely free, analysis of how they can help you. If they can't, they can't. But I promise you, you'll be shocked, amazed. You'll understand why. This medicine has been around the world for several thousand years, and it also combines in traditional Western medicine to combine the best of both. So That's a great offer. Mountain West Wellness, I mean, free. Jack Schaefer.
Thanks, Dean, for coming on. Okay, so a lot to talk about today. I have made a decision on how I'm going to vote on the Joe O'Dea thing. We'll be talking about that sort of part of a broader picture, too. Once again, evidence of the Colorado gold standard election system. Jenna Griswold mailed out 30,000. Hey, guys, time to register to vote to non-citizens. Only problem there, you can't vote in Colorado if you're not a citizen. So we'll talk about that. But wanted to start off with one of our favorite guests, law enforcement expert, former El Paso County Sheriff Investigator Mark Poff. Hey, Mark, thank you once again for your time.
Hey, always glad to be here.
So I wanted to talk to you. I'm going to run just through what prompted me to call you because I wanted to talk to you about this. So not this past week, but the week before, first week of October, there were four officer-involved shootings in 4 days. On a Thursday, Denver Police Fugitive Unit shot and killed a suspect. They got into a confrontation within Broomfield. On Saturday, police, I think this is Aurora Police, tried to stop a robbery suspect near DIA, fatal shooting. In Boulder, shots were fired at police officers. They fired back, injured a suspect. And then on Sunday, a guy was on the RTD with a knife threatening people, and the police were called and they ended up injuring him. So I looked at some statistics because I'm like, I used to remember when officer-involved shootings, I mean, it was like, you know, you'd have several crews covering it. It was a big deal, right? And now it's like a little paragraph. And so I thought, well, let me look into this. Well, I used to be an investigative reporter. So in 2010, there were 34 officer-involved shootings in Colorado. 2015, 52. These were the statistics, at least I found. 2019, there were 66. 2020 didn't count because it was COVID. 2021, there were 68 officer-involved shootings. That's twice as many in 2010. And then so far this year, this is according to Channel 7's tracking system, there have been 47 officer-involved shootings. And I thought to talk to you, and I mean, I have my theory on what the problem is, and no shock, it's the Democrats, but what, you're still involved, you know, you talk to people, you work with people in law enforcement. What's going on? Why are there more armed suspects confronting officers? Are officers, I mean, we pass all these laws, right, to crack down on officers, and it doesn't seem to have, you know, so what is behind this, do you think?
Well, I think Chicago's heading west.
Yeah.
From the standpoint of Democrat-run cities. And, you know, I think they're trying to create this environment of disrespecting law enforcement.
Yes.
In the old days, you didn't mess with cops. And I remember when I first got into law enforcement, they actually separated, you know, sheriffs from city cops from the standpoint of kind of like the old West, wearing a cowboy hat and things like that. But it's all about disrespecting law enforcement. We don't have the respect for cops that we used to. From the standpoint, when the cops showed up, everybody put their hands up and said, "You've got me." Now, all of a sudden, they're pulling out weapons and shooting. And again, it doesn't get a large coverage. And now, when you read a lot of the stuff that I'm reading in the newspaper, they don't even care about the cops.
Right.
They don't even address it from the standpoint of, you know, how disappointing it is that cops have to go through these shootings. they're all saying, well, why are they having to shoot everybody?
Right.
Well, you know, and in this last article I read, they even said, well, it does appear that they pointed weapons at them and shot at them. So maybe they should have.
Maybe that was a factor. Well, that's a factor to it.
You also now, since we're letting everybody out of the prisons, you're going to have people who are more unhappy or at least more inclined to use violence to when they're stopped by police. So you combine that with a general feeling that,
No consequences.
Well, no consequences. And moreover, the feeling, you put your hands up, maybe you'll get shot anyway. They certainly have emphasized that in Chicago and other places, that people who did not resist arrest were nonetheless shot. In fact, that was the mantra.
Yeah,
hands up, don't shoot. That was falsely indicated
And see, that's the mentality that they're getting out there, is that if you do give up, you might still get shot.
Right.
And that's just not, I've never seen anyone who complied with law enforcement ever get shot. Now, it does occasionally happen. I haven't seen it where there's an accident or something happens whenever you're dealing with guns, just like automobiles. I mean, you can have a lot more people killed with automobiles where something goes wrong. I thought I hit the brake and I hit the accelerator. I thought I was tasing them. And I accidentally pulled out my gun. And before that one case up in Minneapolis, which obviously she did mistakenly pull her gun instead of her taser, that happens about once or twice a year and nobody went to prison.
Yeah.
But now, they're holding law enforcement to this higher standard and expecting them to be perfect when we're all human. And sometimes people make mistakes. So why would you ever want to get into law enforcement now?
Oh, yeah.
If you make an honest mistake, they're going to prosecute you to the maximum extent of the law. And then you have other people that are going out stabbing people. I mean, whenever you hear these cases on the subway in New York City and other places, they always say out on bail.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Out on bail. And I don't get that from the standpoint of if you're out on bail and you do something, you should never be heard from again.
Right.
The second time. But right. It's like numerous times out on bail, or they're illegal immigrants from that standpoint, which it's not a good situation for the cops to be in. They're in an impossible situation right now.
Well, and
personally, I don't think a police officer who pulls what they think is their taser and kills somebody should be let go. I don't think that, it's a form of negligent homicide. And should they be accused of murder? No, but homicide certainly, and certainly should face consequences for that level of idiocy or neglect.
But what I think though is you've got, once again, I mean, going on at the same time, that George Brockler and Mitch Morrissey, their common sense thing came out with once again, 2021 was bad enough, but so far in 2022, car thefts, Denver's number two in the nation. There are four cities, Glendale, I think being one of them, that are in the top 10.
But that's not,
they're stealing him. They're stealing him in Denver and abandoning
Denver. Denverites are coming to Glendale and stealing Denver vehicles.
But I mean that when they talk about the four cities, but in terms of arson, robbery, vandalism, I mean, those are all kind of the property crimes that affect everybody, really. There are four Colorado cities in the top 10. So Colorado crime is rising. And I submit it is these same stupid Democrat policies where they treat the criminal with more respect than the regular citizens. And so you've got, like you said, it results in you have these criminals that would say 10, 2010, that weren't jumping out with a long gun and pointing cops number one, they were in jail, so they weren't committing the carjacking in the first place. They weren't out on bond from that. They weren't jumping out with a long gun. They weren't going after police officers. It used to be, I think, that there were, for the most part, those kind of things were only maybe very dangerous criminals who had a lot to lose, or they were, a lot of mental health issues or drugs and alcohol. But this just, to me, it seems like you've got a lot of cases where just, I don't know how to say, your average criminal is pulling a weapon on a cop who then shoots them. Right or wrong, you get in it. But so the Democrat policies, I guess what I'm saying is, not only are they creating kind of problems for all of us, they're creating the very problem. Then they pass all these laws to try to fix cracking down on cops. And they're the ones who created it in the first place.
Right. I think there's actually, I'm kind of more sinister about all of this. And my conspiracy theory I think there's a lot of individuals that love what's going on right now, and it fits their agenda that they ultimately want to get to, and they feel that the end justifies the means. So if we have to have this huge lawlessness time period, they're okay with that. And they want to separate. Again, I've kind of harped on this before.
Right.
How much I think the Democrats hate local law enforcement, definitely sheriff's offices, because that is an elected official and they don't like the local control. And I think I even told you that the breakdown of one of the laws, I think it was Cory Booker and Tim Scott, were actually working together to come up with a law. And the reason it broke down is because Cory Booker wanted national law enforcement.
Right.
He said, this is our ultimate goal, is to have everybody reports to the president, just like armed services. And that's not how it's supposed to work. So if you're separating, I want to say, the communities from law enforcement, because in the old days, communities loved having law enforcement walk through their neighborhoods, drive through their neighborhoods.
Right.
And now they said, oh, no, cops are just going around shooting and killing minorities. You know, you need to be really on the watch for them. You create this whole stereotype or whatever, and you're going to have people making stupid decisions where in the past they don't. And why are we having more of these pursuits?
Yes, that was something else they never used to have. I mean, it would be rare, you know?
Exactly. Well, Pueblo has a no pursuit policy.
Right.
But once you say you have a no pursuit policy, why would I stop? I mean, it's like, I'm just going to keep going and not worry about it. So when you create these things, it's kind of like with DeSantis, and I don't know if this really applies or not, you know, don't loot, you'll get shot or shoot or what, we'll shoot.
Right.
You know, when you set that, look, we're going to enforce the laws. And here's kind of a scenario about carjacking, because that's something that's going up and is happening a lot in Denver. If law enforcement were to see someone actively carjacking, not stealing a car.
Yes.
But carjacking something with people in the car, could they shoot and stop that person? Now, that person has no weapon.
Yeah.
He's trying to carjack. Well, you don't know that he has a weapon. He hasn't displayed a weapon, but he's about to get behind the wheel of a car that has other passengers in it that are law-abiding citizens in a vehicle where he could drive at a high speed, you know, rate of speed and get people killed. This is just like arson is one of the few crimes that if someone's trying to commit arson in an occupied structure, you can shoot them. It's allowed by Colorado law.
All right.
Because it's an occupied structure. Well, it should be the same for a car, for carjacking. But I think if the cop right now shot somebody trying to carjack, I don't think he'll be spending the night at his house.
No.
And that's problem. And then you think he's going to get a $0 bond?
No.
They're going to go to the judge. They're going to get an elevated. Hey, this is a cop. He's a menace to society.
Right.
We need a $100,000 bond, but here's all these $1 bonds we want to hand out to known criminals
to that have a
long, extensive.
Yeah, right.
Well, here's another conspiracy theory, although I don't really see it as conspiracy theory. The left has tried to entangle average middle-class people into the judicial system. And they've done that by domestic violence laws, where you have to arrest somebody and put them in jail, one or the other person. Or both of them. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, you have all these people who are involved in nothingness that now are down at the county jail. DUIs. It used to be a DUI would not, you know, the officers of a local town would kind of look, I'll give you a drive home and you know, please don't do this and all that. And now they, you know, how many people are entrapped in the DUI gin mill that we have? And the same with red flag laws. Those are just average Joes whose wife is mad or his spouse is mad. And all of a sudden, here come the police to your door. Each and every one of those, you know, having touch or being involved in the justice system will make you anti-justice system. As your good friend found out when George Proctor came down.
Right. Yeah, when you're charged with kidnapping someone you never met.
Yeah.
You know, you've never seen this person. Yeah. And definitely, I mean, there's other issues we could talk about. The arrogance of the judicial system is also a whole other conversation. Obviously, you know, I'm not a big fan of Brockler. Nor am I Dan May. I mean, definitely not Dan May. But, you know, this is just going to get more people hurt and killed.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, when you have people that say, okay, I got caught, and they pull over and give up, that's a safe environment. And it's still happening. You know, law enforcement has millions of contacts every year.
Yeah.
And millions of them go without anyone ever getting hurt.
Right.
There's only a few of these things that, you know, that happen. But the question is like, you asked me to read this one article in the Denver Post, and I love who they say are experts. I really would not consider them experts, but they want to look at this from, okay, we had 4 police shootings over the weekend. We need to look at law enforcement.
Right.
Well, instead of the old term that I know that Chuck and I love, that was a good shooting. You know, if somebody points a gun at law enforcement, they need shooting.
Yeah,
just that simple. If you shoot at cops, you need shooting. If you're stabbing people, you need shooting. I mean, you need to be stopped. And that's the way that we stop, because you have the citizens, law-abiding citizens, that are riding a bus or doing whatever. I mean, New York City's just out of control. There's no way I would go there. And then whenever the cops get involved, it's like, well, we need to really analyze.
Oh, I know. And they had minority community.
So many people.
Exactly. And that reminds me of these comments, Charlene. And actually, I agree with you too. And it's not a conspiracy theory. I think it's true. Part of the communist playbook is to get rid of the local law enforcement. They want a national police force. They use Hegelian dialectic to bring about social and political change. Out of chaos comes a new world order. Dr. Donna says, look up Hitler's speech is key. Charlene says your cynicism is appropriate. It's all by design. It's not random or accidental. And let me just finish. And I think you're absolutely right on that, Mark, because I was looking at them. It's like, okay, so it's their actual policies that have created not only the massive increase in crime, but their policies have also created this disrespect for cops. So cops are now put into position where they have to shoot more, and then they blame it on the cops, not on their policies. And I think you're right. When you've got elected sheriffs, you know, when you've got, you know, city councils that are appointing police chiefs or things like that, you know, we can't do that. We have to, I mean, look at what they're doing with the FBI, going combing through all of the anti-abortion people and arresting them after local. I mean, that's what they want to be able to do. And then in the meantime, we'll have PayPal fine us for wrong thinking. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. And you've talked about this. And can you maybe just
you've been going on for 10 minutes here. And so I want to interrupt.
But I want to just have Mark, you've talked about this. So where you see this in some of the smaller communities, all of a sudden federal agencies.
Yes. Yes. I found this, you know, I work for the defense most part now during my consulting years for the last 8 years. As of this Friday, I retired 8 years ago this Friday. And I think it was a Friday the 13th, if I remember right. But like in Greeley and some of these small cities, all of a sudden they'll say a Homeland Security, you know, person is stationed in Greeley. And then when they do these task force, and I think these task force, because there's money behind these task force and no small agency can turn it down.
Right.
Then all of a sudden they're calling the shots. I worked on a case a couple of years ago where they were interviewing this, a witness basically who was in a jail, but whatever. And then all of a sudden the FBI comes in and the camera goes off.
What?
You know? So, I mean, if you want to be scared to death, I mean, it's not your local sheriff's offices. I mean, obviously there's this could be, but when an FBI agent comes in and the camera goes off, and then all of a sudden the witness, when the camera comes back on, is telling them everything they want to hear so they can go arrest the person they want to arrest.
Right. Wow.
Got to be a little cynical about why does the FBI want cameras off? It's their policy. It is their policy to not videotape interviews. Why is that?
Well, it's their policy not to record interviews in any form.
Exactly.
You fill out the agent fills out the form,
the 310
and then has you sign it. And of course, why do they do that? Because they're going to slant it. And if you sign it, you're an idiot.
Well, I would sign it Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
I would interview with the FBI. I'm Hillary Clinton. I, you know.
Well, and we've seen when you would then follow that up and say, so why would they want to federalize all of law enforcement? Again,
because they want
look at what's going
state.
On. Right.
And I will tell my story finally.
Okay. I'm sorry, Chuck.
I heard it was, I'm not sure, it was a woman in New York who was counseling minority people. And she said, never call the police. If something happens, don't call the police and so forth. And I have to say, that's what my father would say. Never bring the police to this house, ever. Here's a card. This law firm has people on it 24/7. If the police need to be called, they'll call them. But you never bring the police to our house. Understand? I go, I've got it. Okay, never bring them to your house.
Well, it's more FBI agents anymore, too.
Well, no, but it was, you know, he grew up in Chicago during Al Capone days. He was in New York. He had a cynical view of, he didn't want cynical on much anything, but, you know, he understood police had a tough job to do. But his favorite phrase, it takes criminals to catch criminals.
Except for you, Mark.
Other than you.
Well, I mean, I've seen both sides of the equation.
Sure.
There's good cops, there's bad cops. And I kind of come under the opinion, the higher you go up in the ranks in any organization, the less integrity there appears to be. I mean, when you talk to a street cop, a lot of times, or a detective, but yes, you know, sometimes the smaller, I mean, you can't sit there and say, you know, smaller agencies are more corrupt or larger.
Right.
It's just, there's going to be corruption everywhere. And what's interesting though, in reading this article, which I thought was just hilarious, you know, they talk about,
Don't you identify the article?
It's a Denver Post article.
It's
about
a Denver
all these
Post people. Article. And they talk about, and then they have their expert who is not an expert. My opinion is not an expert. She actually has been in academia her entire time. Man, I got a reporter calling me, you know, but he's been in academia the whole time. He's probably telling me, Mark, you need to stop talking.
Yeah. The FBI. I heard the FBI's on the way, and they're at Julian Chuck's house too.
But she's been in academia the whole time. She's only been working for 10 years, but I love it when people basically have been in college their entire career. And that's what she is in this. And she makes a great statement, you know, hey, well, they're all pointing guns at them. Maybe that would justify the shooting. But these are not experts. They've never been on the street. They don't understand. And understand, these are not experts. They're advocates with a
exactly.
call.
Exactly.
And what they're trying to do, this is not about public safety at all. This is about legitimacy of their own, like almost like BLM. We want to justify this, whatever we're creating, so you'll donate money to us so we don't ever have to work again. And it's all about money and right. trying to change the system. They right. don't like the system. They want to change it. And, it, you know, and most law-abiding citizens, I've used that term way too many times today, they like it the way it was.
Right. Well, yeah, when you were safe. And I think, you know, you look at, I mean, your point is just so well taken. You look at like gas prices, right? We all know if Biden wanted gas prices to go down, if he wanted inflation to go down, they're very clear, simple things that he could do, right? And that and the fact that they're not doing them shows that they don't. It's part of this new liberal world order, like Lincoln said.
Right.
And I think the same thing
Lincoln?
With Blinken.
Oh, Blinken.
The same thing with the criminal policies too. It's like they want to create, I mean, it's pretty simple. Start doing bail again, and that would be helpful, right?
Right. Like I told you, in 66, they passed a federal law about these $0 bonds back then. And in 71, I think it was around 71, they said that was stupid and got rid of it. And I could go through the whole list of reasons why it's stupid. The most important one is there's no motivation to come to Jesus, so to speak,
right.
and pay up. You're just like, if I can commit 40 crimes and keep getting out, then I can roll them all together, delay the trial forever because I'm still out. So it's right. cool with me. And then finally cut a deal for 20, you know, I can do a much better deal at 20-1 than I can 3-1.
Right.
And that's
right.
even if they bother to do that. I mean, in right. the meantime, like you said, they keep letting you out. So,
well, here's the problem. The bail system was a way of just keeping people housed up. And there are other methods, you know, alternatives, except we never just reform something or we just didn't go 100% the other way. All of a sudden, everything's a cash bail. And now you can't get arrested for shoplifting. And I mean, the left sees something that's a genuine problem. I think, you know, local prosecutors' offices had unlimited power and they used it against the people who came into the system, which is often blacks and minorities and everything else. But instead of, you know, moderate reforms,
yeah.
we get, you know, wackos.
Yeah, I nothing. Mean, you just blow it all up. And
but how many people are still in federal jail on bond for January 6th?
Yeah, exactly.
So the hypocrisy, you know, I keep talking about hypocrisy.
Right.
You do these $0 bonds or PR bonds, personal reconnaissance bonds, then the feds should just be turning all these other, because they're no threat to society.
God, no.
Well, and it goes back to what we were saying, and what you were saying is all of this, I think, is indeed an effort to say, look, we need to federalize all of the law enforcement. And that way, then they don't have to worry about the FBI. They can just send...
New Canada style.
Well, they'll just have the local, you know, federalized Denver police agency come arrest anybody who says stuff they don't like.
Well, the FBI is increasing. It didn't used to cover, like, minor corruption in small cities. It now does. It's got a whole, you know, phone line thing and everything else. And now we're going to have 87,000 IRS agents. All of them armed, apparently.
Yeah.
And willing to shoot if willing to have a good shooting.
If you, going after PTOs.
Yeah.
Because that's where the real root of most of this evil is, are mothers and parents who care about their kids' education, for God's sakes. That shouldn't be allowed because they want to hypnotize our kids.
Right.
And whatever it is, and tell them all about these alternate sex things in kindergarten.
Right.
And all kinds of crazy.
And then butcher them. You know, castrate them, and cut their breasts off.
Before they even have lived their lives and understand, you know,
Well, so, but there's no, you shouldn't be talking, who do you want to sleep with, to kindergartners, right? It's like, I mean, that's just wait till they're a little bit older before we start talking.
I mean, they're more concerned about recess in an hour.
Right, and I guarantee
than they are anything like that.
That's right. Well, where do you see, we just got a couple of minutes and then we'll let you go to your reporter. Then you'll have to call and tell us what the reporter is calling.
I don't think you'd be interested in this, but it is actually a pretty interesting, not to bombshell. I actually was part of, Chuck, you probably know what a Schreck hearing is in Colorado, a Daubert hearing. We just won a really big case a couple weeks ago where we had a software package that law enforcement has been using in Colorado for years. The judge threw it out as junk science.
What?
Under a Schreck hearing. So there could be a lot of repercussions actually nationwide because of this ruling I was involved in a couple of weeks ago up in Fort Collins. So it's actually pretty cool, but I don't think it's kind of in your guys' wheelhouse.
Okay.
But it's interesting.
It would be in my wheelhouse.
Question: did you win or did you lose?
We won. It's a huge. I'll email you the ruling.
Yeah,
okay. It's just hilarious what this judge says. He calls it out for what it is, and the cops have been using this forever. And this is actually, you may care about this. Cops will write these warrants and say, based on call detail records, which are cell phone records, we can show them at the homicide at the time of the shooting or something to that effect. And it's like, you can't do that. And then they have this software, which actually shows because of which tower you used, they actually shade in this area and say, you pretty much had to be within this area. And this was thrown out years ago with US versus Evans. And now they're bringing it back, trying to sneak it in. And the cops are using it everywhere. It's called ZX Tracks. And the software package is junk science.
And how's it different than like the cell phone, other kind of cell phone tracking?
Well, there's other like GPS, and I've told you about geofencing and all kinds of other things that actually do give you a location.
This is
just a cell phone tower. And I've actually found from my analysis, you can be hitting a tower, just to reference this, you can hit a tower that's on the southwest side of Fort Collins, and you're actually on the northeast side of Fort Collins.
It's just pinging off you could be miles
away from that tower, but because they're shading in and saying, hey, because we're thinking that this is the estimated coverage area, you must have been here. And I just happened to found that this individual had a GPS on his truck. And so GPS is a lot more accurate than just pinging off of a cell tower.
Right.
And so I proved that he was all the way across the other side of town when they said he was over here. So they dropped the charges on that. And then all of a sudden, you know, we get this ruling. It was pretty cool. But there's a lot more. I could spend a whole time on just how cell phone towers are not as accurate as law enforcement. You could be miles away from. And you can also do what somebody said here, cell tower jumping. I have actually seen in my, because this is what I do, I've seen people hit towers 3 and 4 away.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well,
Dr. Donna wants to know, was the donkey with Schreck?
Oh, yeah, the Shrek hearing.
Spelled a little bit differently, but it, every time I say Shrek hearing, everyone's like, what? Yeah, was Donkey involved?
All right. Well, Mark, thank you for that. All right. And so now,
sorry for changing the subject.
No, that's pretty interesting, though. So we will let you go. We'll keep back because I think I just think people need to be aware that none of this is happening by accident. And they do not have our best interests at heart.
That is absolutely correct.
Never do.
All right. So thank you for your time. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next time.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, criminals as well as official folks know how to sell Tower Job. And everybody says, thank you, Mark. All the listeners there say thank you. Okay, so we switch to some politics?
Sure.
Okay, so we had Ron Hanks, and thanks again to Ron Hanks, on the show last week. And Ron, as you know, had written sort of an open letter, a press release, explaining that he was not going to vote for the GOP Senate candidate, Joe O'Dea. He was going to vote for the Libertarian candidate, Brian Piotr, because he said Brian Piotr held more of what he considered to be conservative Republican principles.
And he did.
And he did, yeah. And
no, you know, question about it.
And initially, I was kind of thinking, I've been going back and forth, and I finally decided, I agree with Ron. I'm not going to vote for Joe O'Dea, and I'm going to tell you why. They tell us all we have to vote for Joe O'Dea because he's a Republican. And even if you don't agree with him all the time, at least he's going to vote Republican, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so this was in Politico today. Today, as they were announcing that Mitch McConnell is throwing a little bit of money O'Dea's way, it says, Joe O'Dea is running as a centrist. He's distanced himself from Trump, saying, this is a key thing, he would be willing to buck his party in the mold of Senator Joe Manchin, who went against the Democrats. So I'm thinking to myself, well, wait a minute, if I'm supposed to vote for Joe O'Dea because he's a Republican and will therefore vote Republican, and Joe O'Dea, before he's even elected, is saying, well, you can't count on me to vote Republican. I may or may not vote Republican, depending, not clear, depending on what. Then he's not, then, you know, why on earth would I, you know, their argument goes out the window to me. There's no point in voting for a Republican who's not going to vote Republican, at least, you know, and it's like, why is he even the candidate? It seems to me.
Well, we know why he was a candidate, because he avoided the assembly process and just got all the independents to vote for him over Ron Hanks. And he thinks this is a way to get elected. I'm not going to
vote. Which is great.
I'm not going to vote for Joe O'Dea. I'm not sure I'll just leave it blank, put Julie's name in there or something else. But Joe O'Dea has shown that he's about as radical on abortion as you can have, because he said 20 weeks, but he doesn't mean that, because he says the exception of rape, incest, and the health of the mother. Well, you can find an abortion doctor anytime. So, well, you know, mental health, you know.
Well, and again, even above and beyond that, without even knowing what his principles are, because, you know, but when he flat out says, well, I may or may not vote Republican, it just kind of depends. Well, then what's the point? I mean, Michael Bennett may or may not. I mean, well, one thing actually, too, you would never hear a Democrat say, except for Joe Manchin, Michael Bennett would never say, I may not vote with the Democrat bloc. I mean, never would he say that. So why on earth is the establishment telling us, oh, we have to vote for Joe O'Dea because, and with all due respect to Randy, because he's a Republican, when Joe O'Dea is right up front saying, maybe he'll vote Republican, maybe he won't. I mean, to me, we elect somebody to go there, not to get power and money for themselves, but to represent us. And he's flat out telling
Julie,
us ahead of time,
Julie,
I'm
Julie,
not going
Julie.
There to represent you.
They're there
I'm
to
going
get
there.
Power for themselves.
I'm there to get power and money for
especially
myself.
Especially if they tell you they're not.
Right.
I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing it for you.
Well, he's not even saying that.
I know.
So we got Charlene. Hey, Charlene, go ahead. Jump in.
Oh, just quickly, I'd like to remind everyone that in 2016, Cory Gardner voted for Mike Pence. He wrote in Mike Pence's name. He said he could not in good conscience vote for Trump after that Billy Bush, you know, set up scandal, you know, grabbing the woman.
Right.
And so he was throwing his vote away by voting for Mike Pence. So if our illustrious Cory Gardner senator can do that, throw a vote away, then we can, if they want to accuse us of that, we're doing it in good conscience, just like Cory Gardner did.
Right.
That's all I
Perfect, Charlene. I agree with that. Well, and I'll go further. I think I will vote for Brian Piotr because I think I agree with Ron Hanks that we need to send a message to the Colorado GOP and say, if you are forcing candidates down our throat who before the election are telling us they may or may not vote Republican when they get to the Senate, then you need to know we're not going to vote for that person. And I think you need to take a look at the number of votes that Brian Piotr got and how many Republicans there are, how many people voted for Joe O'Dea. It just seems he's not going to vote Republican necessarily. Maybe yes, maybe no. So, okay, you don't get my vote then. I mean, it's not about you. You're supposed to go there to represent me. I mean, I could see if some extreme case violated his, I mean, I don't even know what that would be. And because Joe Manchin wasn't voting on his conscience, he was just cutting a better deal.
Hey,
I mean, that's all that was about. It didn't have anything to do with anything.
Well, you know, this is a consultant run campaign. I mean, they're telling them this is your position here. This will work. This will work. Joe Day himself sometimes says, I'm really more quiet. I'm more conservative than you might think. I mean, he's just running a fraudulent campaign, I guess, at best. I think a lot of people have trouble voting for Joe O'Dea.
Well, and here, you know, maybe I'll address this. Somebody was saying, because I am a PCP person and says, as a PCP, this is from Dr. Donna, I'm unable to endorse the Libertarian publicly, but he's worth checking out. You know, and I guess I would say something as a PCP, a precinct committee person, why do we have Republican candidates who are flat out telling us they may or may not vote Republican? To me, I'm not the one violating anything there. They're violating something there. I mean, if you're going to be a Republican candidate, part of the deal is you vote Republican. You know, I mean, you support the Republican ideals. And if you're saying from the beginning, then maybe you should be the independent candidate, right? And give us a candidate who's going to vote Republican. So. But we were talking, you wanted to go on and talk about just other states, because we were talking about this. It's, you were saying this battle, because there's another article in Politico talking about this infighting in El Paso County, which is nothing new.
Well, it was in the Colorado Politics, which is more left wing than right. And pointing out in El Paso, the county chair, Vicky Tompkins, who we've had on this program, I think a great American. But they haven't been able, notwithstanding every dirty trick in the book, to be able to throw out. So they've set up an alternative
the establishment.
Establishment, where they will hand out like O'Days and some of the other, you know, Pam Andersons and some of the other stuff. And it just shows you what Dick Wadham said, you know, if somebody isn't a establishment person, the establishment is going to do everything they can to destroy you. And they have done that. And Vicky, thank God, I saw her down in,
Pueblo,
she bought a table there, and they had supported her for her Lincoln Day dinner, so they returned the favor. And she's a hero.
But you were talk a little bit about, because, you know, we were saying, and I was like bemoaning Colorado, and Chuck pointed out it going through other states, this battle is going on. Essentially, it's the establishment old guard, I would call them. It's the old guard and then the new guard. And the new guard is, you might want to call it grassroots. You may want to call it MAGA, but it's
people. I call it MAGA.
I would call it MAG. Okay. Winning. Other states.
Well, in Wyoming, which is overwhelmingly Republican, maybe the most Republican state in the country. What happens in places like Natrona County, which is where Casper is, the big city, the capital, they all run, they're Democrats who run as Republicans, and they depend on Democrats voting for them. So this last time when everybody's saying, wait, Liz Cheney should not be able to run in a primary taking just Democratic votes. So they had saying closing the primary. Well, it passed the Senate 18-12. And there are only two Democrats in all of that in the House. There are 28 Republicans, which means that 10 Republicans voted to make sure the Democrats could vote. And then it went to the House, where the Speaker is a rhino, and he made sure the bill was killed. But the party has been taken over by the grassroots. And they're the ones who led the battle against Liz Cheney. And they now control the state party. They don't control the legislature, which, although this last election, I think 5 House members, incumbents, got thrown out, along with 2 in the Senate. So maybe it's getting more conservative. But the same thing happened in Nebraska. Ricketts controls the Republican Party in Nebraska, and he's the governor, although he's term limited out. And so he pulled for a moderate to take his place. And Charles Herbstadt, who had Trump's endorsement, of course, got caught up in a sex scandal, which seems like it's probably all made up. But they took over the party from a guy from Lancaster County. They threw out the 8-year incumbent. all the people resigned on the top, including the national committee man and various others. And all of a sudden now Nebraska, who's gave us people like Ben Sasse, who's now retiring to go to be the president of Florida University in Gainesboro, but Gainesville. But it's just amazing that who was it, Chuck? I forget, Husted, or who was another Rhino Republican from Nebraska. But now they said, you know, we'll support all the nominees this time. But come next primaries next time, we will support people we think conservative and will not support necessarily Rhino Republicans.
Yeah. This from Leo. Oh, such a manic Monday. And then Peg. Thank you, Peg, for this. PCPs are elected at their caucus depending on what candidates they support. There's nothing in the bylaws that say they have to be neutral. Well, there you go. Jim Jackson says, the reason I don't vote for a candidate like Joe is to point out to the party that my support is not blind. Exactly. And then Dr. Donna, have to have tough skin to do this and have your own attacking you for sure. And then Leo is SAS, short for S, blah, blah, blah. And you can read that. SAS is sent to infiltrate Florida's higher education. Yeah. Well, and you know what else I wonder there too, Charlene? I think we are all, we being the MAGA people. And again, they always forget, the people who attack us try to say, oh, it's just this blind cult of Trump. It's like, no, it is a belief in a lot of the policies and systems that Trump supported and brought to life.
It's solely that. And of course, you know, they're always going to say it's a cult. But it has nothing to do. I mean, you can either like or not like particularly his brash personality. At times I like it and other times I don't like it. But it's interesting. He was in a rally. I'm not sure, one of his rallies. And he's told everyone to get vaccinated and they all booed him.
Right. Yeah.
If he all of a sudden said, well, I'm for an open border. It's his policies, and he's willing to fight for those policies. That's why everybody backs him. And that's why I consider myself a MAGA Republican, because I support his policies. I do not support, at times his kind of almost infantile desire to shoot himself in the foot. But policies, I remember saying, good old Hugh is no longer with us. We celebrated the victory. And I said, no, Trump will betray us. And I expected him to, and he didn't.
And he hasn't yet. You know? Well, and that's the thing. And I think that's why there are millions more of us than there are of the establishment rhinos. And I think so, because I was kind of being depressed about Colorado. And Chuck is like, no, what's going on here is going on in other places. And slowly but surely, the MAGA movement is gaining ground. Right. And I wonder if Ben Sasse just saw that coming, like Lisa Murkowski, right? It looks like she may lose up in Alaska. The Trump supported candidate may end up winning. And when you say Trump supported, I just mean the MAGA candidate.
Well, he supported her.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And may beat Murkowski. So I think a lot of these rhinos are realizing we should call them dino. I mean, you know, their time, I think, is coming to an end. Pretty soon, they're just going to have to openly do a Kevin Priola and become Democrats if they want to remain in power. And, you know, go for it. That's good.
Well, Joe Day is and I love this. George W. Bush returns to the campaign trail to support Joe O'Day. He's not going to campaign trail. He's going to a fundraiser in Texas.
I know.
Yeah, hitting the campaign trail. Right. Yeah.
And meanwhile, Ted Cruz, who was on a campaign thing, and Ron pointed this out, and we had some other folks point this out too. So Ted Cruz is campaigning for candidates, and I would certainly put Ted Cruz more MAGA, even though there are issues with him, than George W. Bush, right? And he just goes around Colorado. He's not even remotely coming to Colorado. So clearly, Joe O'Day didn't either ask for his support, or Ted Cruz wouldn't give his support. But I think Joe O'Day didn't want his support. He just wanted George Bush's support, which tells you all you need to know.
Well, Dr. Donna, who's a candidate for HD 53, said, would hide my head in shame if Bush supported me.
Well, yeah, but that tells you everything you need to know. So then again, to the Colorado Republican Party, if that's what you're going to shove down our throats, okay, but you cannot then turn around and expect us to hold our nose and vote for a person who's flat out saying, I may or may not vote Republican once I get to the Senate. And I don't like Donald Trump. So what are you going to do if Donald Trump becomes president or is a presidential candidate? Are you going to campaign for whoever, the Democrat, Joe Biden?
Well, do Liz Cheney. She's down in Arizona campaigning for the Democratic one over over Blake Masters and also Carrie Lake. And Carrie said, that's the best gift I've ever gotten to find out that she's endorsing the Democrat.
I mean, well, yeah.
I've never had a better gift in my
life. If you want to be a candidate and not vote for the party that you are saying you're going to represent, then be an independent. Then run as have the courage to run as an independent and say all of these things and get all these independents to vote for you. It's like, why? You know, and then again, and then the establishment turns around and they want to attack us. It's like, well, maybe you should talk to Joe O'Day. And maybe you should say to Joe, Joe, you were kidding about that, not voting Republican, right? Right? That was a joke. That was a Joe Biden kind of gaffe, right?
Well, you know, you don't always have to vote Republican. If I was in the Senate, I would not have voted for the Patriot Act. I would not have supported.
But you don't say that. I mean, you could come out in certain bills
and
say, okay, look, here's the thing. And more importantly, I've talked to my constituents at home and this is how they feel. Because again, I'm not sending anybody there to vote for what they think we should all be doing. I want them to vote for what we think they should be. They represent us. They don't dictate to us, right?
Well, that's
so,
not really how it works,
well, I understand that. I understand that. But that's the way it's supposed to work. That's the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah, sure.
Speaking of the way that things are supposed to work. I don't know if you guys saw this. This is actually on Colorado Public Radio. It's pretty funny. So the Colorado Secretary of State, as we've talked about this before, they're part of this ERIC system, a George Soros funded data collection system for keeping track of voters, registered voters, et cetera, et cetera. And in Colorado, if you register your car, you're kind of automatically registered to vote, right? Mm-hmm. And if you haven't voted for a while, as part of this ERIC thing, they have to send out postcards to you. So a couple of things about that. The Colorado Secretary of State accidentally sent 30,000 voter registration cards to non-citizens telling them, hey, hurry up and register to vote. And here's where you can go to register to vote. Now, they didn't do anything about this, apparently, until somebody discovered it. And so now they're going to send a bunch of postcards out and say, oh, well, yeah, you can only register to vote if you're a citizen. But Jenna Griswold, so first thing I wanted to say is we have 30,000 non-citizens roaming around. Yeah, I thought that was just a big number. I was surprised at that. And then how do they accidentally, I mean, what kind of algorithm do they have? It seems like citizen is a key category, right?
It was the same accidental with PayPal where they said they're going to fine you $2,500 if they don't like what you say.
That was like accident.
The police.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, we don't know how that got out.
That was just a weird AI thing.
I didn't know that.
And so then Jenna Griswold said, not to worry.
Not to worry.
Of those 30,000 people that we sent the cards to, telling them that they had to register to vote now, does actually try to register to vote, then we will make sure that they can't, right? Now,
well,
here's
we'll
my
make sure to send cards to all their kids and everything else.
And ballots. I mean, because I'm sitting there thinking to myself, okay, that's 30,000 people that they're saying that somehow or another is in their system. Do those 30,000 people get ballots sent to them?
Sure.
You know, so that's 30,000 ballots.
What accent they got out there? We can't trace them anymore.
Who they know haven't been voting, who probably wouldn't vote, who wouldn't even notice if their ballot was missing. 30,000. I mean, there are so many questions about this. But Jenna Griswold and Wayne Williams remind us we have the gold standard here in Colorado.
Thank God, Wayne,
so don't worry, Jenna.
If Pam Anderson does beat you, she'll continue all of your policies exactly the same.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Donna says accidentally. Well, yeah, how do you accidentally, if you're sending stuff out to people telling them to register to vote, it seemed to me it's not like there are really that many criteria anymore in Colorado, but a key one would be being a citizen, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'd think that that would be one of those things. Oh, if this person, it says here on their DMV record, is not a citizen, then that's just not send them
the
postcard.
You get an extra one.
Yeah, they get an extra one.
Three or four for the whole family.
And this is our money, by the way. This is our tax dollars.
It's not your money. It's their money.
It's their money. And now they have to send them. And so, I mean, it's just, can you imagine this person? First, I got this thing to vote. Then I got this thing that can't vote. And again, it's for a second, I don't buy the gold standard when they're got, you know, and then we're going to talk about
this.
Well,
it's illegal for, it is a crime, not that illegals care about crimes, but it's illegal to register to vote if you're a non-citizen. It would be pretty hard to indict somebody saying, wait a minute, I don't really know all the U.S. laws. This sent to me my name right there telling me to register to vote.
Exactly. I didn't see the other one telling me not to register to vote. Yeah. And Jenna says, oh, don't worry. Our system
will catch
that. Yeah. The same system that sent them the postcards in the first place. Mm. And so then we're going to talk about this on Wednesday. The Denver Post is doing a story because Republicans have been gearing up, I know, at Adams County, too, trying to get a lot of people to do poll watching, election judges, things like that. So the
election deniers are signing up to be poll watchers. How dare Republicans
sign up to be poll watchers?
That shouldn't be allowed.
And it's like, not that a Democrat, I mean, you look at the polls, there, a lot of Democrats have questions about the election too. But even then, the whole point of having poll watchers and election judges is to make sure the system is fair. So why on earth is the Denver Post criticizing anyone who wants to do that because they're an election denier?
Because
I mean,
fair.
Well, I mean, it's just such
They don't have an agenda. They do not have an agenda.
So we're going to talk about that, too, because all of a sudden it occurred to me, if they're screaming so loud about it, it must be important. Mm-hmm. Do you know that it's a front page story? Election deniers are with Republicans, right? It doesn't have a problem with Democrats signing up to be election judges, just Republicans, because any Republican who signs up is automatically an election denier. They clearly do not want Republicans, you know, watching
election
the polls.
Judges for Republicans? Yeah. Oh, Lord, what's this world coming to?
Yeah, that's right. Let's see. Oh, okay. Dr. Don, I'm not sure what that is. Oh, this is from Charlene. PayPal should pay us $2,500 for the disinformation. Well, yeah, would anybody here raise your hand if you would use PayPal? No. I mean, so this is a company that says I can at any time just take money from
you. We do PayPal because we get paid through Rumble a lot,
5 cents. But
Okay, but if the company who's paying you demands to use PayPal,
well, there you go. I think that is going to probably change too. That's going to do us. This Manic Monday went fast. Thank you to Mark Poff.
Remember, you can
catch all of our shows at ChuckandJulie.com. Thank you to Thomas and all the great guys at BBS. On Wednesday, we'll be talking about the election judges and all that and why that's important. And who knows what else may happen by then. Everyone have a great
go call Mountain Wellness, Mountain West Wellness. And get that free consultation. That's worth, it can be a real lifesaver.
All right. We'll see you on Wednesday, everybody.